Your daily dose of sports talk is here. Highlights, interviews, and analysis. From the entertainment capital of the world, Sports Wrap with Jason Page starts now.
Yes, it does. And so thankful to have you with us on this Christmas Eve edition of the show. We got a lot to do over the next 60 minutes. We'll be joined by our friend Kurt Heelan of Pro Basketball Talk at NBCSports.com. Talk about the top NBA stories of the day. Christmas Day games. Looking ahead to the second half of the season. Robert Latal will hang out with us for that conversation. He'll hang out with us for the duration of the show today. Sam Yarnell is off. He'll be back next week, though. Don't worry. I think he will. Programming note, we will be off on Thursday and Friday. You will have the Sports Wrap 2025 Best of the Year show, Best of 2025. We will be doing that on Thursday and Friday. We'll do half of the content on Thursday, half of it on Friday, so nobody gets shortchanged when it comes to coverage of the year's top events in all the sports that we have talked about throughout the entire year. So looking forward to bringing you that. And we'll also do that next week for New Year's with New Year's Day and the day after New Year's, as we'll take a couple of days off to recharge the batteries for a big NFL postseason push. The Super Bowl right around the corner as well. The college football playoff, national championship, all of those things. But right now, on this Wednesday edition of the show, we start the show the way we always do with the big story. And the big story for the NBA, I mean, you want to talk about really just walking your way into an amazing situation when you talk about two of the biggest and brightest stars in the league right now. And these two young, vibrant, different sort of stars in Cooper Flagg and Victor Wembanyama. Cooper Flagg had it all going on Tuesday night in a win, national TV game with NBC and Peacock having it on, with the Mavericks beating the Nuggets. And this is a Mavericks team that struggled to start the season, not having Anthony Davis healthy, and obviously Kyrie Irving, who's going to miss a lot of this season, has had an impact on the win-loss record. But they go in last night, they beat Denver, and Cooper Flagg was terrific. 33 points, 9 rebounds, 9 assists, just misses out on the triple-double. Some key shots down the stretch in this game, and Anthony Davis was great as well with 31. But the future of that franchise is undoubtedly Cooper Flagg. And I have to admit, I got it wrong. I will be the first one to admit, when I get it wrong, if I'm right, I'm going to tell you, and if I'm wrong, I'm going to tell you. I thought Cooper Flagg could be really good. I didn't think he was next-level, franchise-changing great. What I've seen from this kid 2 days after his 19th birthday, he could be that good. He could be every bit as good as the greats in the game right now. He could do it all. And remember, to start the season, because they didn't have a point guard, they basically had him out there playing a position that he's really not meant to be playing at the NBA level. And you watch him last night in more of that comfort zone. Look at him shooting it from everywhere. I mean, Mavericks fans, man, you are fortunate. And I don't know what it all leads to in terms of championships and MVPs, because there's a lot of really talented guys in the league. But my idea that he was a really good player, but not this great franchise transformative sort of player, I got it wrong. But there's a big question, and I think a fun debate that's going to be had around the NBA for the next 10 years. Who do you want? Do you want Cooper Flagg? Or do you want this guy, Victor Wembanyama, and the San Antonio Spurs? I think it's a very fair conversation to have, you know, in light of what we've seen Wemby accomplish over the first, two-plus seasons of his career. Some of that injury-riddled, and that plays into the debate. Versus Cooper Flagg and what he has done here in just the first couple of months of his NBA career. And the reason I'll take Wemby isn't just for his amazing talent, his freakish size, his ability to do things at 7'5" that most people shouldn't be able to do, his ability to handle the basketball, to draw the attention of the defense, make guys around him better. I think Cooper Flagg can do all that. But the reality is, the structure around Victor Wembanyama, it's not even close. The structure around him is going to allow for him to be more successful in Cooper Flagg over the course of their career. Because we've seen the dysfunction in Dallas with the Mavericks. This is a franchise that traded away one of the top three or four players in all of basketball, and a guy that may turn out to be an all-time great, a top 25 or top 30 of all time in Luka Doncic. So why should anybody have faith? New ownership group, maybe things change. They fired Nico Harrison. They do have a good head coach in Jason Kidd. The argument for Wemby has as much to do with where he landed in the league as it does the talent that he comes with, the physical ability that he comes with. The thing working against Wemby, though, is that freakish size. And if you've watched over the first two-plus seasons of his career, he's had trouble staying on the court because of health. And somebody that large, there is bound to be problems. Go and look at all the guys that have played the game at that size. They've all had injury problems of some kind. You can go back to Yao Ming, and you can go back to Sean Bradley. You can go back to, you know, anybody who's that height. Human beings are not made to be that height. There's a reason that, you know, he's got to duck through every doorway. Why probably everything in his life has to be custom made. You're not meant to be 7 foot five. By the way, he grew from the time he got into the league to the time where we are now. So there are going to be problems associated with somebody that size, even if he's as agile. Sometimes that agility may work against him physically in terms of injury concerns. And I think Cooper Flagg is at a more prototypical size where that is much less likely to happen. So that is an argument in favor of Cooper Flagg and against Wemby. But which do you think it is? Is it ultimately Cooper Flagg for the next 10 years? Or is it Victor Wembanyama for the next 10 years? Which one are you choosing? Let me know. Hit me up on X at the back page. At any time. And make sure to follow us on Sports Wrap Shorts. We're bound to be talking about this topic as we go through the season as well. And love to get your thoughts there. But it's going to be a fun thing to watch. If you live west of the Mississippi and you get to watch Victor Wembanyama and Cooper Flagg for the next decade plus, I mean, those guys are going to be around for the next 12 to 15 years, really. But if you think about their prime years, the next 10 years, going to be a fun rivalry to watch. Oh, by the way, the Spurs beat the Thunder again. I told you, they are the foil for the Thunder this year. We're coming back. We got some NFL talk. Robert Latal hangs with us next. Welcome back to this Christmas Eve edition of Sports Wrap. Good to have you all with us. Final regular show of the week. Happy to have this guy hanging out with us today, as he did yesterday. And it's Robert Latal, founder of Black Sports Online. Kurt Heelan's coming up in 10 minutes. He'll hang out with us and talk some NBA, get his thoughts on the Christmas Day slate. And the question I was asking at the top of the show, for the next decade, Cooper Flagg or Victor Wembanyama? That's going to be a debate that I think rages on in the NBA. So, Robert Latal, before we chat with our friend Kurt Heelan, let's get into a couple of NFL notes, starting with Justin Fields. And I got to tell you, I got it wrong on Justin Fields this year. I thought this year was going to be a real opportunity for him. Even though the Jets organization was in a little bit of chaos, new head coach, you know, not the greatest receiving core, but some offensive weapons there with Breece Hall. You know, that I thought that this was going to be a year where he really got to establish himself as a starter in the league and show people what he could do. And I don't know if it's the combination of it just being the Jets, a defensive-minded head coach, but you're almost out of excuses at this point when you hear that Justin Fields isn't going to start again for the Jets this year. His career there is likely over. And you sort of feel like it's nearing the beginning of the end for him, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you just don't have it. And it's hard to explain because you see a guy in college. And I watched Justin Fields a lot because, he went to Ohio State. And he had everything that you would think that you would want out of a modern day dual threat. you know, quarterback, you know, big arm, very fast, strong, tall, at Ohio State. You know, that's not a simple offense that they run. That's an NFL style offense under Ryan Day. So you would assume he could process and go through reads and make play calls and things of that nature. And for whatever reason, situation or individual, or maybe a combination of both, it has never clicked in the NFL, and I'm really flabbergasted by it. And I guess that's why quarterbacking and trying to pick quarterbacks in the draft is such a hard thing to do, even for people that are experts and spend 18 hours a day, you know, on it. It's one of those things where it's not really so much your athletic ability. It's either you have it, whatever it is to be a quarterback, or you don't. And it just doesn't seem like he has it.
But could it be? But could it also be this? You know, some guys are born on third base. You know, you're Victor Wembanyama, you get drafted into the league, you're in a Spurs organization where there's great culture, great surroundings, and great, you know, fundamentals within that organization. There's a mindset. Justin Fields was born into the Chicago Bears, which has been a quarterback-killing culture for a number of years. You know, I wonder if he had been brought into the league under the right head coach in the right situation, if things had turned out, things may have turned out differently for him. Am I wrong?
Well, it's the situation where you say, well, what if the Bears drafted Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs drafted Mitchell Trubisky?
Yeah.
You know, what does that career look like? You know, some people are the thought that if you're a Patrick Mahomes, you're always going to be a Patrick Mahomes, and you would have raised the level of whatever team, you know, that you're on. If you're a Lamar Jackson or a Josh Allen or whatever it may be, that you're a talent and just the way that you are would have raised whatever franchise you're with. Now, others are, yeah, well, you got Andy Reid, you know, lucky you, you know, or you went to Baltimore instead of going to Cleveland. You know what I mean? You know, lucky you. You know, you had the Bills who were willing to spend 2 years, you know, working on you. So it's really hard to say. I think when you go to multiple franchises and it still doesn't work out, I mean, this is his third franchise. You know, the Steelers could have easily brought him back. They didn't have to bring in a 45, 47, 90-year-old Aaron Rodgers. If they saw enough in him, he's not expensive for a quarterback.
No.
And they could have brought him back, but they chose to let him go. And, you know, Mike Tomlin obviously is a good coach. That's a good situation. We see what Aaron Rodgers is doing there once he got away from the Jets. So, you know, I lean more toward, yeah, situation helps. But when you have something special, that usually rises to the top and builds the organization up with you.
Yeah. Some guy, you know, it's the old saying in baseball too. Some guys are, you know, not AAA. They're too good for AAA, but not good enough for the major leagues. Mm-hmm. You know, those 4A guys that sort of don't make it in the major leagues. I always think of, this is going to sound like the dumbest name. It's going to make me sound so old. Hensley Bam Bam Mullins.
Bam Bam.
Bam Bam was a Yankee prodigy. Hit a zillion home runs, got to the major leagues, couldn't hit a baseball. DK Metcalf situation. So we learn a little bit more. He's going to lose a ton of guaranteed money, and that doesn't mean he loses the money. He just loses the guarantee on his contract as a result of the two-game suspension he's been handed down, that's been handed down to him from the NFL for his interaction with a fan on Sunday in Detroit. The ban has been upheld. He's obviously going to miss out on the last couple of games of the season, but now there's this new video that emerged, and I'm wondering, it probably doesn't change your opinion any, because you thought he should have knocked him out anyway. They should have knocked out the fan anyway, but now there's this new video that came out where you can see the fan actually saying, "Oh, I got what I wanted," after this interaction with DK Metcalf. Now, some might believe that's just, "Hey, I got the attention that I wanted." Some might also believe it's something else more nefarious. I don't know. Either way, boy, DK Metcalf really losing out as a result of what happened on Sunday.
I think a lot of people may misunderstand me. I mean, I'm not saying you should just go around smacking people and knocking them out like Bernie Mac in that movie. What I was saying is that we have to remember that individuals, even in sports, are human. And people have human reactions to things. And sometimes people get under your skin. And clearly this gentleman, from the video and from everything else that has been told, you know, from people that have sat with him and other stuff. He feels like that's his job. His job is to try to get underneath, you know, people's skin. He's obviously had situations with DK in the past. I'm sure DK is not the only opposing player that he's done this to. Now, some will say that the opposing player needs to be the bigger man and just, you know, move on and ignore him and let him, you know, troll and whatever it may be. And I understand that. But what I try to express to people, it's very easy for us sitting behind a computer, sitting on our phones to say we wouldn't do this or we wouldn't do that. It's totally different to be in the moment. And you never know what someone is going through. And you never know what might trigger them or what has triggered them before. And in that regard, I'm trying to say understand DK's, you know, position. Was it smart? Obviously not. But he's human. He's not a robot. And this guy is trying to antagonize him. And he clearly is saying that was what he was trying to do. And that's what he did.
Kurt Heelan talks basketball with us next. Good to have you with us on this Christmas Eve edition of Sports Wrap. All the presents under the tree. Are all the presents? Hold on. Kurt Heelan's here. Pro basketball talk at NBCSports.com. He joins us every Wednesday on the show, and today is no different. Just because it's Christmas Eve, he doesn't get the day off. If I don't have it off, nobody has it off, except Sam, apparently. So, how many presents are under the tree, Kurt Heelan? That's what I want to know. See, we can't see under the tree. We can only see, like...
Yeah, and I don't know that I could tilt the camera.
No, it's okay.
This work, but I would go with... I can't use the word I want to use, so we'll go with a lot. There's a load of them down there. The whole family's got five of us plus sisters and aunts and stuff. Like, everything's under there.
See, so we stopped buying for each other. The only people we buy for now are our parents. Like, our siblings, we don't buy anything for each other. We don't even get cards for each other anymore. Robert, is there a zillion presents under your tree?
I have a one-year-old and a five-year-old. There are
there are.
That I have a actual workman thing with the screwdriver and the thing. I'm ready to go. I have to put on a green vest to put together these all of these toys, these princess toys. I'm ready to go tomorrow. I'm going to be put to work.
Robert's going to be up at 3 a.m. tonight trying to put together something, man. But the directions say.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I'm not good at it either. I'm good at talking about sports. I've never been good at anything else besides that.
Yeah, I definitely know that feeling. We were just having that conversation off air. Adulting, big problem. Cooper Flagg, I asked this question last night in a Sports Wrap short, and I brought it up at the top of the show today in the big story. So I'm going to put you on the spot and ask the question. You should never ask an NBA journalist. Cooper Flagg or Victor Wembanyama for the next 10 years?
Oh, I'll take Victor. I'll still take Victor.
Wow.
It's closer than you would think. I think, first off, let's let Wemby and the Thunder have their rivalry first, and then we'll bring Cooper in. But the risk is health with Victor, but his impact on both ends, particularly defensively, is just greater. And then that's not to knock Cooper, but the ceiling for Victor is still...
Wembanyama.
Cooper's going to be very, very, very good. But in 10, 12 years, are we talking about where Wemby ranks related to LeBron and Jordan is the potential. So I will still take him, but it's going to be fun, especially, you know, look, we know San Antonio can put together a franchise around Wemby because they've already done it.
You've made my argument. That's the same argument I made at the top of the show. It's where you're born sometimes. Yeah. And being born into that Spurs organization versus the dysfunction that Cooper Flagg's been born into there in Dallas and what that portends for him, I think is very valid, you know?
It's going to be interesting. They've obviously got time and they've got a place to pivot, but they look, we learned some stuff this year already, which is one, you need a point guard next to him. Ryan Nembhard stepped up where, you know, he's been frankly just better than D'Angelo Russell was flat out. And obviously they get Kyrie at some point, but you're going to need a point guard. He's got to be on the wing. He's an amazing two-way player. And also the other thing that they've got going, one of the reasons they look good now, Anthony Davis is still really good at basketball when he's healthy.
Yeah.
And he provides a lot for them.
Yeah, Flagg was really impressive last night. 33-9-9 for those that didn't see.
Youngest
and that's a great win,
that, by the way.
And that's a great win. Yeah, 2 days past his 19th birthday. It's a great win for them against a really good Nuggets team.
Yeah, a really good Nuggets team. I haven't heard the Cam Johnson thing. They just look. I still think Denver is the second best team in the West, but they've got to get healthy. Not having Christian Brown, not having Anthony Gordon. We'll see what's up with Cam Johnson. Like, this could turn into last year's Nuggets where you're like, man, they're so good. I mean, Jokic could be MVP, but if you don't have enough around him, especially in a world where the Thunder exists, you're in trouble.
Robert, go ahead.
Well, speaking of the Spurs and the Thunder, are the Spurs title contenders today, like right now?
I still think, don't you, that you have to learn how to win in the NBA Finals and the playoffs? Like, they haven't been there. We haven't seen what happens in a playoff series with, you know, Harper and Castle and all these guys. But I went into this season thinking, all right, they're going to play their three guards. Well, four now, if you want to count the way Devin Vassell is playing. They're going to play their guards, and then they're going to figure out which one they don't need, right? Like, hey, we're going to have to move on from Castle or which, you know, whatever they want. I think the way the NBA is shifting with multiple ball handlers and the way they look right now and the way they can defend for their size, I mean, you're going to always need, right now, Harrison Barnes is in that role. You're going to always need some sort of two-way wing, you know, who can shoot some threes out there. But they might just have all the pieces. They just might already have drafted all the pieces they need. And I keep saying, to your point, I kept thinking, man, this is the year they finish like eighth and get through the plan and get some experience and stuff. And now you're suddenly like, all right, so they're top six easy and they can win a round. And suddenly you're like, man, the timeline's coming fast for them.
I think they're really top fast. Four, Kurt. I think they're going to be top four.
I'd take them right now over the Lakers.
Yes.
I mean, it's Houston and Denver and then San Antonio and Denver, but Houston's,
I want to ask you. I want to ask you about Houston because the loss to Sacramento, who is my God, is that a mess? And then last night against the Clippers, you know, where you sort of get that vintage Kawhi effort that makes you go, man, what could have been? What is wrong with Houston right now? Where's the disconnect?
It's on the defensive end.
Clearly,
I was there in Staples eating the Staples. I will get in trouble for that. Here comes
the still call this thing. Yeah, I mean, well, I guess it's a totally different building.
Yeah, the Intuit Dome eating the handmade pretzels they serve there, which is still like the, with all due respect to Ballmer, that's still the best thing about that arena. they're just not sharp defensively. They're just not where they need to be. And that, by the way, will make an entertaining Christmas game with their lack of defense going up against the Lakers' lack of defense. Like, just bet the over. Just grab the popcorn and watch that game. But Kevin Durant's, look, the offense is still sort of there. It got a little clunky last night. They got frustrated. They missed their threes. Frankly, they were just not knocking down shots. And then they got frustrated and got out of their offense. But right now, they're just not defending well. And they've got to figure that out. They've got to become they've got to bully teams. They've got to defend. They've got to crush you on the offensive glass because that's the only way they win.
Yeah, and that feels like something that's a calling card of Ime Udoka teams, so I'm kind of surprised that they're struggling in that area. But then again, wherever Kevin Durant goes, it just seems it doesn't quite work out. So I'm just saying. Kurt Heelan's going to hang out for one more segment. I got to ask him about what's going on with the Warriors and Draymond Green. We talked about it yesterday on the show. We'll get to it next. Welcome back inside our Sports Wrap studios in Las Vegas on this Christmas Eve. Continuing the conversation around the NBA with Kurt Heelan of Pro Basketball Talk at NBCSports.com. Robert Latal hanging out with us as well today with Sam being off. Well, we all saw what took place by now with Draymond Green walking off the court during this Warrior game the other night, and a win against the Magic. Good win, by the way, against the Magic.
Yeah,
he had some sort of tiff with Steve Kerr. And then after the game, Steve Kerr asked about the incident with Draymond Green, had this to say.
Nothing more to discuss from my end.
Just to clarify, he went to the locker room. He wasn't sent to the locker room.
Right.
Steve, you've been through a lot of different stuff in your career. How does the group move forward after that kind of exchange happens in the game?
The group's ready to go. I mean, you know, you can see the game tonight, and you know, we need Draymond, and he's a champion. We've been together for a long time, and all we can do is the rest of the group keep pushing, keep getting better. I thought this was one of our better games. I thought the first half was brilliant. We just didn't make shots. I thought Draymond played great.
So the general gist of it from Steve Kerr is we're keeping it in-house. We're not really talking about what sparked this whole thing, Kurt. Is there any sense a couple of days later, like, what happened here and how they move past this?
I'm not sure exactly what sparked it, but moving past it, what we've heard is, look, man, they've had these fights before. This is a long marriage that has had a few big fights in the past, and they've reached the point where they just kind of, all right, we had a fight, now we're going to move on. And they're not really bothered by it internally. And come Christmas Day, you know, the games, they will be fine. By the way, Draymond Green and Jimmy Butler trying to slow Cooper Flagg suddenly becomes one of the most interesting games on that day. Like, that's going to be entertaining. But I think the Warriors, they've just been there, done that with Draymond before. And if it were anyone else, if it were a different situation, this would be a big deal. But they're literally just going to move on from it.
It's just Wednesday.
It'll come out in the book someday.
Yeah, it blows my mind that they have enabled this for so long. And it seems like they're just content. You know, they've sort of made their bed and they're going to lie in it. Go ahead, Robert.
I'm just curious about, we never talk about the Eastern Conference that much. Is this a situation where the Eastern Conference is, in your opinion, is going to kind of slide through and then go through, whoever the champion is, go through the playoffs, and they're going to get to the finals, but they're going to be, you know, relatively healthy because of the bloodbath that is going to happen in the West? You know, do you see anybody in the East that can, you know, win a championship? And if they can, will it be because how difficult it is going to be to get through the West?
That's actually a great question. I believe there is a chance for that. Look, I hate to do this, Robert, because it makes Jason happy. The Knicks look like the best team right now, right? and if New York comes through with the gutty play of Brunson and they get enough defense, Mitchell Robinson's got to be healthy for them, which I think we saw, you know, in the Cup, like what a difference he can make. And the guys they're finding and the way they've kind of found themselves. Look, last year we thought Oklahoma City was going to roll, and that series went seven games, and for what if, who knows? You get there, you got a chance, right? You got a puncher's chance, who, you know, assuming it's whoever comes out of the East, will get there and have a chance. They certainly won't be the favorite. Frankly, they won't be the more talented team. But you got to the dance, and so there's always this opportunity.
Yeah, I get that sense. You know, when it comes to the East, and I'm trying to figure out if it's not the Knicks, sort of who is it? And the Knicks just seem like the best of a bunch that is a tier below anything that's going to come out of the West. So what as much Tatum, as you can...
What if Tatum comes back?
That's funny.
The Celtics are hanging around at third, fourth seed or whatever it may be, and Tatum comes back and he's, you know, even if he's 80, 90%, can they make a run? I know that's risky with the Achilles, but he says he wants to do it.
He does. He's also, look, everything coming out of Boston is that sometime after the All-Star break, you know, maybe March, but late February, March, he gets out there, he gets a month under him. Again, I think you're right in that, and we've seen this isn't a basketball thing. We see it in the NFL. We see it everywhere. It takes you a while, right? Like, to get back from the Achilles and really trust it again. But in this East, where Cleveland is not the team we thought they were, and the Knicks will expose that on Christmas Day.
God, I hope you're right. Don't ruin my Christmas, Kurt Heeling.
I just jinxed them for you.
You really did. Did you see the look on my face? It's bad enough I'm spending Christmas alone with the dog. I'm going to have to watch the Knicks get their you-know-whats kicked in by the Cavaliers.
Did you buy the dog a present?
No.
see, now you're in trouble. Look, I Detroit feels like they're a player away. We'll see what happens at the deadline, but they don't really, again, that's another team without real serious playoff experience for Cade and Durin and those guys. Orlando doesn't look like they've quite figured it out. They can't get healthy. That's part of it, but we'll see. I think of that group, when you start to look at all the flaws on every team, even the Knicks, suddenly Boston doesn't look that bad if they're getting good play from Cade. The way White has stepped up, that's a good team.
Real quick, in the last 30 seconds here, is there a move that the Knicks could potentially make here at the deadline that gets them into that category where they could beat the Thunder?
I'm hearing smaller than bigger. So if you're talking about Giannis, probably not. Just the cost in season, it's just too hard to pull off. It changes too much. It changes too much on a team that's going to win big and should win big anyway. But a smaller move for another ball handler never hurts. A little more depth. But the way Kolek has been playing, the way they're getting Crawford off the bench, it works.
All right. Kurt Helen, have a Merry Christmas, my friend.
You too, buddy.
Welcome back to this Christmas Eve edition of Sports Wrap. Again, a reminder, Thursday and Friday, if you're watching us on any of the 270 affiliates across the United States and Canada, Thursday and Friday, you will get the Sports Wrap 2025 Year in Review show. So big, we have two episodes for you. On Thursday, on Christmas Day, we'll talk about the NFL, college football, basketball, both college and pro, the NHL. And on Friday's show, we've broken it up into baseball, NASCAR, the betting controversies that engulfed the sports world, the PGA and tennis, and we'll remember those we lost as well in 2025. That, the next 2 days of programming for you. As it relates to this show, as we will be off for Christmas and the day after Christmas. We will do the same for New Year's Day and the day after New Year's as well next week. At least that is the plan as of now. All right, Robert Littal, big news out of the world of golf. And it had kind of been rumored to potentially happen, but it was made official on Tuesday. And that is Brooks Koepka, Major Brooks, leaving LIV Golf after four seasons with that renegade tour, citing family reasons. His wife unfortunately had a miscarriage back in October, which had been reported. And Brooks says he just wants to be closer to home. And with LIV Golf, that really isn't an option because a lot of their events are basically just all over the world. So that leads a lot of people to speculate, though, okay, he wants to be closer to home. Does it mean he's going back to the PGA Tour here? And what does a return to the PGA Tour look like, Robert, for a Brooks Koepka, given the fact that he left in 22, he had not renewed his membership for PGA eligibility? There has been talk that guys coming back to the tour are going to get lengthy suspensions. Ooh. But this is Brooks Koepka. He gets to play in all four majors anyway. If you're the PGA Tour, do you let bygones be bygones? I know the membership of the tour, the players are actually going to have a say in how Brooks Koepka is reintegrated into the tour because he is supposedly going to reapply for membership. If you're the PGA Tour, what do you do with Brooks Koepka?
I guess it depends on what level of petty they are, because these guys left them, high and dry for the money. I mean, we have to just be honest. They left for the money, and there's nothing wrong with that, leaving for the money. And, it didn't quite, work out. I mean, it worked out financially, but as far as LIV Golf as it is, that really hasn't worked out the way I think they hoped that it would. And they come in, scurrying, back. Do they make them beg? Do they give them all of these things? Or do they just like, listen, man, we understand you took the money. You made a mistake. It's almost like cheating on your wife. so to speak, or, you with your mistress for a little bit and then you realize, something, I had something pretty good at home, but that doesn't necessarily mean your wife is going to let you, walk back in. You might got to sleep on the couch, for a few months, and maybe that's what they're going to make them do. But I think eventually it all kind of wash over.
Yeah. Cause there's talk of a 1-year suspension.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a long time.
Yeah, that's a long time.
And then the other talk is August, they would let him come back because August of 22 was when he left for Liv. So there's talk that maybe they bring him, they allow him to come back in August, which means
he's trying to send a message. If this ever happens again, you know, don't leave home. You know, this is your one shot.
Yeah. And look, what does it mean ultimately for Liv Golf? I don't think it means that much because as good as Brooks Koepka is, his value is in the majors. His value isn't in winning, you know, some weekly golf event on Liv or, you know, some weekly event on the PGA Tour. The value of Brooks Koepka is what he means to the majors, which is why he's got the nickname Major Brooks.
Yeah, I always thought Liv's issue was you needed Tiger Woods. Like you don't
or a Rory.
Yeah, you needed the big guns. You know, you needed the big name. Anytime you start up a new league, you know, like when the USFL started, you know, they got Herschel Walker. You know, you got to get, you know, you know they got the, you know, the Canadian Football League. I remember when they got Rocket Ishmael.
Yeah.
Like to get another league to get people interested, they have to have a name that's going to carry no matter where they're at. Because people go wherever Tiger goes. People go wherever Rory goes. Phil Mickelson, they go where he goes. You know, they didn't really have that, in my opinion.
They would argue that Bryson DeChambeau is that guy. And that's what my argument would be, that Brooks Koepka leaving doesn't really kill Liv. If Bryson said he was leaving to go back to the PGA Tour, that'd be it. It's a wrap. That tour would go away if that's the case. And the other thing I've noticed with this whole thing is, remember when all of this started and the PGA Tour was hemorrhaging players to Liv? It's not the case anymore. And I don't know if it's because they're not paying out those monster salaries or they're not making those big offers anymore. But the guys on the PGA Tour are no longer of the mindset. And the PGA Tour has also acquiesced on some rules changes and just sort of, you know, changing the flow of things. But to me, Liv's having a harder time getting those guys over from the PGA Tour now.
We saw the same thing in boxing. You know, when the Saudis wanted to get involved in boxing, they were definitely overpaying for a lot of the events. And as the years have gone by, they're still in boxing, but those numbers have gradually started to come, you know, back down to what normal, you know, we've known from boxing promoters, you know, over the years. So now it's not, you know, that's why Jake Paul has to go to Netflix now. But, you know, before you just went to the Saudis, you know, that's why, you know, Canelo and Bud Crawford went to Netflix, you know, because the Saudi money, they wasn't going to pay them as much as they was, you know, previously. So I think that's just part of the Saudi situation. Heavy money up front to start and then, you know, ease back.
Odds and Ends wraps it up in a couple of minutes. Ben Simmons is an odd bird. And Munetaka Murakami, Merry Christmas to you. We'll explain next. Just about time to put the wraps on this baby for Christmas Eve. Reminder, Thursday and Friday, Sports Wrap Best of 2025. Looking forward to bringing you that special. Weekend edition of Sports Wrap, you'll still get that. We'll have all the news covered, if anything, big breaks, obviously, for the weekend edition. A couple of quick reminders, if you haven't done so yet, make sure to subscribe to the Sports Wrap with Jason Page podcast, available on all your favorite podcasting platforms. Check it out, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube Podcasts, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Odyssey, Amazon, anywhere you get a podcast, you can listen to this show, 45 minutes in all its glory, Monday through Friday edition available. The Sports Wrap with Jason Page YouTube channel. Haven't checked this out yet? What are you waiting for? It is all things Sports Wrap. The Monday through Friday version of the show is available there. Commercial free, 45 minutes. Go and check it out. In addition to that, we have Sports Wrap Shorts. These are 1 to 3 minute long videos, usually closer to a minute though, where we're covering the top stories of the day, the biggest games every night, the NFL and college football on the weekends. And throughout the holidays, we will still have Sports Wrap Shorts going, even though we won't be here with the regular show on Thursday and Friday. Sports Wrap Shorts available on our YouTube channel. Also available on our TikTok, Sports Wrap Jason Page, and on our Instagram, you guessed it, Sports Wrap Jason Page. And without any further delay on this Wednesday edition of the show, time for some odds and ends. Odds and ends, Robert Littal. Ben Simmons. He is a rare bird, that guy. I forgot he wasn't even playing because how quickly you can be forgotten in sports sometimes. Ben Simmons is investing in ownership of a professional fishing team because apparently there's a professional fishing league. I wasn't aware of it, but I guess there's a league for everything these days. So Robert Littal, Ben Simmons, who still says he wants to play basketball, maybe sign on with a team later this year or next season, still wants to play basketball, but clearly fishing is his love.
I mean, listen, I mean, he's made, what, $200 million?
Don't remind the Nets and Sixers.
You know, I mean, one of the great things about sports is, you know, if you have a little bit of talent, you know, you can make enough money to do things that you really love to do. And if he loves bass fishing, and he wants to invest in fishing and it makes him happy and joyful, I think he should do it. I mean, he can't shoot anymore. And, you know, basketball is a game where, believe it or not, you have to shoot the ball from time to time. That's kind of the central theme of the basket and the ball. You know, you have to shoot. But he doesn't seem to have a mental block when it comes to fishing. I'm all for it. I'm all for Ben Simmons, the fisherman.
Are you much of a fisherman?
Oh, yeah, I like to fish.
Really?
It's very common. You get out there on your little boat and stuff, you fish. It's not even about the fish. It's about clearing your mind, especially nowadays where everything's in your face all the time. You go out on a lake, you know, I'm out here in L.A., get out here on a lake, we got Lake Arrowhead, you get on a little boat, you reel a boat, you get the little worms and stuff, you go out there, it's very, very, very relaxing.
I have gone fishing once in my entire life.
Yeah, I tell you, on a spring day, and on the weekend, there's nothing going on. Right. You can sit there for 6 hours and just think about life. I mean, it helps. It's cleansing. Okay. So maybe, here's the thing. Maybe it will help him if he ever does, you know, get another shot in the NBA. Maybe this venture will clear his mind and he comes back as a different, you know, player. I don't think so, but maybe.
Kudos to Munetaka Murakami, the new import for the Chicago White Sox. 2 years, $34 million for the first baseman /DH. He's got light tower power, they say. And apparently he's got a giving heart. Gave out $100. He gave out 100 $100 gift cards to a local grocery chain in Chicago for needy families. Kudos to him.
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, it's tough on the holidays for a lot of people. I see it online, you know, people kind of talking about it. You see it out in the streets and things of that nature. I think, you know, we're blessed if, you know, you do have a family and things are going decent for you. So anytime you can do just whatever you can do to brighten somebody's day, you just don't know how that's going to change their 2025 to their 2026. You know, maybe that's the thing that changes it and gets it off to a good start. And, you know, I think, you know, we all, even if we don't make hundreds of millions of dollars, there are little things that we could do. Even if we're just walking past somebody, you know, give them something or whatever it may be to try to help. And then maybe we'd be a better society if more of us was like him right there.
I was in line for a quick drive-thru run at McDonald's the other day, and I got to the front of the line to pay. And the woman looks at me. She goes, "You're all set." And I'm like, "What?" She goes, "The woman in front of you said she was paying for your bill." Of course, it's when I have a $5 order. It couldn't be when I get the double quarter pounder with cheese and bacon. No, when it's $20, I gotta pay. But no. When I get a $5 order, the 2 for $5 of like a double cheeseburger and a McChicken with a free French fry, oh, then the woman in front of me wants to pay. I bet if it was $20, she wouldn't have paid. I couldn't even pay for the person behind me because it was a mobile order that had already paid. So I couldn't even pay it forward. I felt terrible. I'm an awful human being. What could I say?
You'll go out and get some coffee, get something. Then go outside there and go pay somebody groceries or something.
Groceries?
Go to Walgreens.
Go easy.
Maybe not groceries, because I know people have a big cart. Go to Walgreens. You see somebody, you know, got like, you know, two things in their hands. Go ahead and, you know, drop that 20. Drop that big 20 on it.
That's going to wrap it up for us on this Christmas Eve edition of the show. Robert, thank you so much for hanging out with us. I really enjoyed it.
No problem, man. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. All of that great stuff.
Yes.
2026. It's gonna be better. We're gonna rise up. We're gonna keep going. Yeah. We're gonna keep moving. Things are gonna be better in 2026.
We'll see y'all later. Bye-bye.